to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now is the Time. It is my privilege to welcome to the Mobile Pro podcast booth here in Antigua, Guatemala, stove crew number one working here in San Pedro, Las Huertas. I'm going to have the crew introduce themselves, starting with Addie.
My name is Addie Darnell, and I'm from Edmond, Oklahoma.
This is Nick Gaston from Washington, Illinois.
And I'm Daryl Darnell from Edmond, Oklahoma.
Lady and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast booth. I am so excited because I have some podcast veterans here. Actually, not veterans of this podcast, but they've been on several other podcasts, this father and daughter team here. And of course, Nick Gaston has been on previous podcasts through this mission. Daryl and Addie, tell me about the podcasts that you guys have been in. This is Podcasters Week here in Guatemala, and we've got some podcasters, family members, and friends. Tell us about you have a podcast right now, right?
We do. So the very short version is I started podcasting in 2008 about the sci-fi TV show called Fringe, and that kind of over time grew into this podcast network called Golden Spiral Media, where we specialize in covering sci-fi and comic themed and a little bit of horror TV and film. And just about a month ago now, Addie and I started. We had another podcast that I retired at the end of last year called Stuff I Learned Yesterday. And it was the only one on our network that had nothing to do with sci-fi or anything like that. It was non-geeky. It was just life lessons, observational life lessons from my life. And we had other hosts. And Addie filled in and joined me on a few of those episodes. And now, about a month ago, we started our own podcast. But I'll let her tell you about that.
So we started a podcast on my favorite TV show called Stranger Things. It's a Netflix original. And, it's been really fun doing it with you and stuff. So.
Thanks. What's it called?
Stranger Things. I already said that.
No, the podcast name.
Oh, the Stranger Things podcast.
Yeah, the Fringe podcast, the Stranger Things podcast. We go and spend a lot of time trying to be really creative on our podcast
titles. I mean, we actually tried this time, but we just ended up.
Yeah.
We did make a list.
We did. We came late to the party, so some of our ideas had already been taken by others.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That many fan podcasts about.
Well, it's not that there's a ton, but some of the titles we liked most were already taken.
Right, yeah. Right. So tell me about this. So I've been in podcasting for quite a while, and I help teach mobile podcasting. But I've never had a fan podcast. So how does this work? You review a show each week, or do you have audience write-ins or call-ins, or how does that work?
Yeah, in the Netflix show, Stranger Things is a little bit different because they dump an entire season at once.
Right.
And we also came into it late. Like, it dumped last July, and we're just now doing it. And so our format is the same structurally, but the way we approached it, we had to kind of think through how do we want to do that. Typically, a network releases a new episode each week, and of course they take breaks every now and then, so we will do a single podcast episode about a single television episode. We break down our thoughts on it and make predictions on what's going to happen. But we do it a couple of days after the episode has aired. That gives listeners time to call in and share their thoughts and predictions and theories and that sort of thing. But we've decided to take that same approach. Even though Netflix is dumping an entire season at once, we've still decided to take it an episode at a time, really dig in deep, and give audience plenty of time to send in their feedback.
So then, Addie, how do you collect the feedback and how do you use it on the podcast?
Well, they have different ways of sending it in. Like, they can do it through the Golden Spiral Media website, which I don't remember the name of it. What was it?
GoldenSpiralMedia.com/feedback.
And did they do it through their social media?
They can leave feedback on our social media accounts. We have Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And then we have a phone number they can call and go straight to voicemail.
So you take their audio, is that right? Mm-hmm. Or do they write in?
They can write in as well. We'll read it.
Well, There was that one time that someone wrote it and I read it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Addie, do you know anyone else your age? You're 14, is that right? Mm-hmm. Do you know anyone else your age who has a podcast?
No.
Do they even know what podcasting is?
No.
So how do you describe it to them? This is always my favorite thing. Like, how do you describe a podcast to somebody who doesn't know what it is?
Well, no one's asked me, but if they did, I would probably say, well, it's basically an audio recording that we, like, based on, you know, like, some show or movie or something, and we edit it, and, yeah, like, I don't know. I'm not really good at describing things.
What's your favorite part of podcasting? You've been doing it now with your dad for a while, past couple months with this show, but then in previous, what do you like about podcasting?
I like being able to talk, and especially about my favorite TV show, because I love Stranger Things so much.
You can hear that. You can hear a smile through the through the audio. It's amazing.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool, and I like doing it. And I mean, Dad wasn't my first choice doing the Stranger Things podcast.
Oh, with. Is that right?
Yeah, but I mean, it worked out pretty well, I guess.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I think it's awesome that you guys are doing it together, and it's one of the things that we try to do here with the mission is make it possible for families to do things together, and you guys came on this trip together, and I'd love to know how that all evolved. You mentioned it a little bit last night at worship, Daryl. How'd you guys get here, and why did you come to Podcasters Week?
Well, it all started with you. You sent out the invitation to support the work that you guys were doing here this summer. I was familiar distantly that you were down here during the summers, but I didn't realize how in-depth it was. I just thought it was something that you did once a week every year. You know, and boy, was I wrong. So when you invited us to come down here, I'm just so busy, and we are all busy, but we're only as busy as we allow ourselves to be. My first thought was, we want to support you financially. We want to help put some stoves in. And I said, how much do stoves cost? I'd like to, you know, see how many I can provide. And you said something to the effect of, that's great. We'd love to have your money, but we'd rather have you down here and help support in that way. And if you want to, you know, support with some stoves too, that's great, but I'd really rather have you come down. And our family dynamic is a little bit odd. It's not to say we don't travel as a family. We have done that, but our son has some food allergies that make it where we're really, like, coming down here to a foreign country, that was not an option for us. None of us had ever been out of the country before, so we were not about to bring him to a place where we didn't feel like we could safely be sure that he was not going to have something that had been cross-contaminated. And my wife's kind of a homebody anyway. She doesn't like to travel. She actually kind of likes having the house to herself and stuff. So her treat this week is having at least, you know, two of us out of the house. So, and Addie loves to travel. She loves to see and experience new things. And so, you know, after you challenged me to come down here physically, I thought, okay, let me pray about that. Let me think about that. And then let me see if Addie's interested in it. And she was. So long story short, here we are.
Addie, what did you think about this whole idea of going to a developing country, someplace you'd never been to? Did you even know where Guatemala was? I didn't when somebody told me about it.
Well, I knew it was in Central America because in seventh grade we had to do map tests. So, wow, something actually useful.
Since school is helpful.
But, no, it's not. Now I still, like, don't really know where we're. I mean, I know we're in Central America, but I don't really know the exact location. But I thought it was going to be kind of cool. I mean, actually, the other day, I was like, Dad, I told him something about Walmart. And you were like, this is a third world country. There's not going to be a Walmart. And then sure enough, there was a Walmart, and I was totally right. So,
sorry, Dad. They just came in 2 years ago. It's not like it's a big, you know.
Yeah, I was really surprised. Now, obviously, the part of the city where we're working in and installing stoves is not like that. But
no Walmart.
Yeah, there. Yeah.
So how... it's very curious to me. I've got so many questions for you guys. You mentioned you thought this was kind of a small project of ours or something that we just kind of did. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about how it's different. It's only been 24 hours,
right.
Believe it or not, yeah. Since we started. But I'm curious how it's different than what you thought it might have been. And then Addie especially, I'd really like to know what surprised you? What was different from what you thought it might be?
Well, I knew there was probably going to be, more advanced stuff in the capital city because, you know, in most places there are. So that was kind of what I expected. And then, I'd never seen any pictures of Guatemala before or anything like that. So... when I got here, I was kind of surprised, but also kind of expected it because it's closer to the equator than where Oklahoma is. So it's a lot more tropical, and there are mountains, and I think that's really cool. but yeah, it's kind of what I expected, kind of not. So far, I love it here.
Yay! Well, we love having you here.
Well, for me, I didn't realize, gosh, so many things that now the time is involved with. Today, like I said, was kind of our orientation day. Help us figure out just what our surroundings are going to be like and kind of orient us to our environment and the people that we're going to be serving. So we spent a lot of time, I don't remember how to say the kind of home base we were at today.
Corazón de los Niños, exactly. Or Heart of the Children. That's the partner organization. They're stationed here permanently in Guatemala.
Yeah, you got it right. sorry, I have no idea how to say that. But the work that they're doing with the pharmacy that they run, the clinic that they run, and they're not just doing it for, you know, the kids, but they're doing it for the entire family because they recognize that if someone in the family has a parasite, the entire family has the parasite. And you can, if you make sure the kids are well, that's temporary. And, you know, wellness means they can have education and spend time in school and doing other things that are going to help provide a better future for them and the community that they are a part of. And so I just didn't realize, you know, how deep it was and how many different services that are run out of that you, and that's just one of the things that you're partnering with. I mean, that's not your ministry. That's the ministry that you're partnering with, and the water filters, and the adopt a kid stuff that's going on, and just all the places that you're touching the people of Guatemala and trying to really make a difference. You guys don't make any money off of this. This is not one of those nonprofits that, spends most of its money in the community. This is a nonprofit that spends every dime and every penny into the community. And I was just blown away by just how many different things that you guys are able to do. Mm. And then the story of how once again, you'll help me with the name?
Corazón de los Niños.
Yes. They take this little bit of money that is raised, and then they then... purchase drugs for their pharmacy with that they can then they get those drugs at a greatly reduced price, and then they can offer those drugs to their members at a discount, but still make a little bit of money, and then sell them to the community and make more money. And so it's just this way of taking a small amount of money and amplifying it into much more money that they can then again pour back into the community and help families and help in so many great ways. And so just seeing all that firsthand it blew me away. I had no idea that much work was going on here. Mm-hmm. And that you guys were involved in so many different things.
Yeah, praise God. Yeah, they're an amazing organization, they've spent years learning how to become, there's this term, autosustenible. Do you remember what that means, Addie? Autosustenible. Self-sustaining. It's this whole idea of, you know, every project that they do is self-sustaining. They don't, they're able to grow the programs and grow the money that they are given, and that's why we love partnering with them. They've taught us a lot. They've taught us a lot about how to be great stewards of the gifts that that they are given. Let's talk about this guy sitting quietly over in the corner, because Nick is someone who came here like you guys, but many, many years ago as a first-timer. And now he's been with us for 9 years. He actually moved to Guatemala for 6 months, was it?
Yeah, 6 months.
6 months to do a lot of what Lillian and Corazon de los Niños is doing. I mean, Nick is working with a program called Paso a Paso, and he is trying to do the same thing, create a self-sustaining program and working with after-school programs. Tell us some of the programs that you work with, Nick, some of the programs that Paso a Paso does, some of the projects that they're doing, and how you got involved, because it's a great story.
Yeah, so the two biggest projects they do are, they have a preschool program for 4 and 5 year olds, which they do really great work with that. The teachers, once they get them in the public schools, are like, wow, these kids, they need to be, you know, they need to be up a grade already, because they do a lot of great work. And it's something that a lot of the families in the community that they work in, they don't get that opportunity. It's extremely expensive for preschools. And everything is free to the families. And they volunteer their time as kind of payment, so it's a really great program for them. And then the other thing we do is after-school tutoring. So the children that are in primary school, they can come in the afternoons and receive tutoring. How we got started? Actually, through this mission, it used to be one of the work sites that we installed stoves and floors at. After working there for maybe 3 or 4 years, there was a lot of talk of developing a child sponsorship program for them, to help with them with a little bit more reliable source of funds. They were spending a lot of time every single day going around all sorts of people and nonprofits and other organizations here looking for money. And they were spending so much time looking for money that they weren't able to focus on the education, the key for what they were there.
We were in this room.
Yes.
I could see his eyes. We were in this room when he made this decision. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No. The decision started, actually it was day one, the Monday. We were out at the project site. And the kids, they were doing a dance and they were singing. And there was just this little thought in the back of my head. It was, this could be the last time that I see these children. This could be the last time that I see this dance. Because they were really in a tough place, that year.
Financially.
Financially. So there was that little, you know, this could be the last time. And then, throughout the day, there was just kind of, you know, more thoughts coming to mind. And, we get to the leaders meeting that night after, you know, going through the whole day. And, they were talking to, you know, kind of got off track from, as we tend to do in the, you know, leader meetings. We were talking about their financial system, or where they were financially. And I was kind of sitting, I usually sit in the back corner because, you know, small room and a lot of people around the table that we're sitting at.
And this is the most talking Nick has done in 2 years. Like, he just doesn't talk a whole lot. So he was sitting in the corner kind of quietly as he usually is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just kind of, you know, spoke up and like, can we talk about this later? I think I'm being called to run a, you know, a child sponsorship program for them. And everyone just turns their head and
can you hear this music? Dun, dun, dun. What?
And that was 2014, so just over 3 years ago now.
And you were still in college at the time.
Yep, I was a junior, just going into my junior year.
So was it that next year you took your spring break to come down here?
Mm-hmm. Well, so during that week, we did a lot of the groundwork of getting information and pictures and all that. But then, yeah, the following spring break was kind of the first big trip down here to.
By himself. Yeah. How many juniors in college do you know that not only want to launch out their own child sponsorship program for a project in a developing country, but raise the funds and spend their spring break coming down here and setting it up? Mm-hmm. And then after graduating from college, coming down to live here for 6 months to try and figure out the needs, how to make it self-sustaining. I mean, Nick is doing what Lillian did 20 years ago, trying to start something, and he's partnering with this organization that has some great ideas programmatically, but they really struggle with how to run it as a self-sustaining nonprofit like 99% of the nonprofits in the world. You know, they really struggle, and Nick has some brilliant ideas. And last year, because he was here for so long and then, you know, really invested in that, he wasn't able to join us, and he's been our right-hand man for several years doing the admin stuff for our mission. And you've seen it's a lot to organize one of these things, and for 1 week, let alone for 4 weeks. And so this year we're so blessed to have him back. And how blessed are you guys to have him as a crew leader? Like, this is a really rare thing. He's usually doing admin work, which he's really great at. But today, you guys had an opportunity to get out and learn how to build a stove. Tell me about that experience. It's the first time you'd ever seen one of these things and how it works. You visited the family. Tell me what that experience is like for you guys.
Well, I didn't really do any of the building part. I just was playing with the 5-year-old of the family.
Yes.
His name was, what was it?
Jose
Leonardo. And, he was so cute. I asked him a couple questions in Spanish, like what his name was and how old he was. And I asked him if he spoke English. He said no, but his grandfather did. So he didn't understand anything we were saying. I didn't understand half the things he was saying.
But you got that much. It's pretty impressive, Addy, really.
Yeah, most of the time we were, you know, either chasing each other around, and I mean, I wasn't the only one with him. Hope and
Maddox.
Thanks. Hope and Maddox, they were there too, and we were all just, you know, throwing around stuffed animals and hitting each other with it. it was a lot of fun, and I was really sad to say goodbye to him.
Mm.
So, yeah, I hope he comes to VBS.
Yeah, he probably will. We hope he does too. But what's so great, now I'm just smiling the whole time she's talking, is because we say the most important thing that we do this week is not installing the stove, but it's spending time with those kids, because that's irreplaceable. Mm-hmm. That is like that commercial, you know, priceless. I mean, you put a price on the stove and it's going to last for 10, 15 years. They take care of it. But the time that you have to spend with these kids is just, it's priceless. So I'm just very proud sitting over here thinking, wow, you spent all that time with the kid. That's so great. So your dad was the one who built the stove then, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that helped. It was a really interesting experience. This was the first home that I had been in here in Guatemala The Hermanos, what was the name of the village we were in?
San Pedro Las Huertas.
I was way off. Huertas, I think, is what I was thinking of. But yes, so when we walk in, it was just a flood of newness to me. And there was one thing that stuck out to me, and it was what I thought was a cement or a statue. I thought it was made out of rock. And so we go back to the kitchen?
Cucina?
Uh-huh. Cucina. And where we're installing, and Nick and Michael was there to kind of show us around. And it got to a point where we were basically done with our work, and it was too many cooks in the kitchen, really, quite literally. Nick and Michael and Peter were working on it. So, actually, Michael had stepped out and was talking to what turned out to be the uncle. And then Michael is translating and telling me. And it wasn't a statue made of rock or cement that I saw. It was hand-carved from wood. And now I begin to look around this home, and with dirt floors and tarps for the ceiling, and the laundry's hanging, you know, in the an area that has no tarps so the sun can hit it. And there are wood carvings everywhere. And that's what this family does. As far as I could tell, that's how they earn their living. I don't know that to be completely their way of living. Okay. And their uncle, who was also named Jose, they were all actually named Jose something. even the wife, her middle name was Jose. And he was just, there was a picture of Jesus and baby Jesus, and he was just carving away. And when we came in, the first time I noticed it, it was still pretty rough looking because he was just starting to make you could definitely see the face. The body was rough. He was just starting on the body. By the time we left, which was an hour, I mean, it was smoothing out and looking amazing. I mean, it looked amazing when we got there based on what I could do. And it was just really cool to see this craftsman, this master craftsman, just hand carving this stuff. And the grandfather showed us some of the tools that he had handmade to help with his craft. And so that was really incredible for me. Jose, the son. So you have the grandfather, the uncle, the son, and then, as Addie mentioned, the grandchild, all and the wife, all living in this under this roof. And you know, so Jose, the son, he's probably in his 20s, I would guess. You know, asked me, you know, are you married? You know, and I said, yes, I've been married 18 years. And Nick and Michael had to help me. My mind went blank. I couldn't even think of numbers, basic numbers. I said 18 years. And I pointed to Addie and said, she's my daughter. And I told him I had a son back home. And, it just kind of boils it all down. We're all the same. We're all husbands and wives and fathers. And family is what matters most. And here's this family all in this home that is extremely different than what mine looks like back in Oklahoma. But at the baseline of it, it's just a family trying to do the best they can, show love and provide. And I found a lot of commonality just in just the little broken Spanish I could muster, just trying to, what do we have in common? We have family in common. So I thought that was really cool.
Mm. Great story. That's pretty rare, Nick, isn't it, to see a wood craftsman like that? I don't think I've ever heard of anybody stumbling on that. Some carpenters, but like a true artist.
Yeah, we've stumbled on a lot of carpenters, but woodworker, I don't... It doesn't ring a bell. I haven't been in many houses the past few years helping with the admin stuff, so... Not a great person to ask.
No, but I mean, we would have heard that story. I mean, that's amazing. So a lot of people tell me, I just said before we hit record, a lot of people tell me that, when they get back home, they don't remember what happened on Thursday, let alone on Monday. So I want to ask you, what's one thing that happened today or one person that you met that in a year from now you want to remember?
Pretty much everyone I met today. I met two kids. At the place on the thing.
Corazón de las Niñas?
Yes, that. I can't pronounce the first word. I met three kids there. Two of them were before we went to go do the stove thing. And then the other one was after. And so Maddox, he was looking for the two kids that we met before. And so that's how I kind of met the other dude. Maddox asked him if he knew where they were in English, and he said he didn't speak English at all. So I told him what to say in Spanish, and he still didn't know where they were. So so then I went over and talked to him, and I was like, hey, what's your name? And he was like, oh, wait, what's his name? His name was Juan, I think. And then I told him my name, and I never asked him how old he was. I forgot. But yeah, he seemed like he was somewhere around my age. And then the two younger kids that we met before, one of them was 4 and the other one was 8. So they were so cute. And then, of course, the 5-year-old that we met, which he was so cute, too. They're all just so adorable, and they're everyone's really nice here. And, yeah.
Yeah, the kids are just really warm. They kind of run up to you, and they want to play or give you a hug or whatever. And it's a universal language, isn't it? Although you do speak Spanish some. I'm really impressed with your Spanish, I have to say. I saw you speaking to some people. It's got to make a father proud over here.
She's done really well. Very proud.
Better than you.
Yes. Not even close. No argument.
Daryl, do you have a memory, something you'd like to hold on to?
Well, I mean, I shared the family already, so aside from that, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing, is it Castillo?
Casildo?
Casildo, yes. Your story about Casildo really impressed me, but even then I had a chance to chat with him, because he speaks English pretty well, too, mm-hmm. so he's a guy I'm a little bit more comfortable speaking with, because I know I can carry on a conversation. And like he was wearing some shoes that I really liked today. And so I went up to him and said, ¿Cómo se dice shoes? And I wasn't thinking of zapatos at the time. And then it occurred to me, like, as soon as I said it, and he said, well, zapatos is kind of shoes in general. These are, we call them tinnies. And so we had a nice little conversation about his shoes and stuff. But he's got a great heart. And so he's been... a great guy, because he's local, so I kind of find myself just watching him interact with the people and and the locals, and he is a great person to kind of be that liaison between us, and we have guys like Nick and Michael and you who can speak and translate, but he's also another guy too, and he's living here, and so I feel like he's kind of unique in that regard. And so, anyway, he just really struck out to me as a really cool person, and I'm glad to have him as part of our team.
So the brief story of Casildo was, in 1976, there was a giant earthquake that destroyed lots of homes in Guatemala, including his. And about 4 months later, a group of American missionaries, much like our team, came and built him a new house. And ever since then, he has volunteered, true volunteer, not looking for a job, not looking for a handout, truly volunteered with many groups since then to say thank you to us for building the house. And he's one of the most Christ-like people we've ever met. Like you said, huge heart, unconditionally loving, works really hard, loves the kids, spends time with the kids, is always focused on the kids, and always wants to give back for the blessings that he's been given. So he's a treasure for us.
Mm. That's a good way of putting it.
Nick, did you have any moments that stuck out today? Mm-hmm.
I haven't really had much time to decompress from the day,
right?
This week will be very different for me, because I haven't been in too many houses over the past 4 or 5 years, and it's just a very, very different experience to be in the houses. So I'm looking forward to that and interacting with the families, and so.
It's so true. I spent 10 of the 12 years in the office. I mean, very rarely would I get... The only time I'd get to a house is doing return visits, when Don Reese and I would come back in, like, January and March, and we'd do return visits. But I didn't put a stove in until 2 years ago. I'd just never done it before. And finally, down recently, I said, we have to do this. Like, we have to get in the families and get back in touch with the people that we're actually serving. And, you know, you get busy with trying to organize all this stuff and get materials in front of people so that you guys aren't sitting around waiting for materials or waiting for things to happen, buses and things. And somebody has to do that job, but to get back in the homes and the families. And now you speak Spanish so much better, Nick, so I would imagine it's going to be a much more rich, colorful experience for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you were telling me the whole story of, you know, the family and, you know, bits and pieces on the drive home. And 4 years ago, you wouldn't have been able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah, that's really, I'm proud of him. His Spanish skills, and not just Spanish, but of Nick's heart and all the work that he's done here in Guatemala. Well, I don't want to keep you from worship, but I do want to just take this moment to say, you know, on behalf of Domaris and myself and Lillian, the director of Corazón de los Niños, thank you. Thank you all for coming to Guatemala, for loving those kids and loving their stories and loving the other volunteers like Casildo. And loving entire villages of children, Nick, that just need an opportunity. They're looking for some help, and you all are just an incredible blessing to all of them, and we're so honored to share this time with you and to share this mission with you. So thank you for your service to our Lord and to His children here in Guatemala, and thanks for sharing your stories on the podcast. So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga, may God bless you. Vaya con Dios, go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.